What is it that motivates us as believers to overcome our discouragement and actually share the gospel with those we encounter on our way? In a continued discussion from our last episode with pastor, teacher, and founder of the Exchange Ministry, Jeff Musgrave says that he believes we should be motivated by heavenly rewards and by having an approach that works.
As a pastor, if you wanted to have a great altar call, just preach on family devotions or evangelism because everybody feels guilty. We try really hard never to motivate people out of guilt. And what we want to do is motivate them out of, I think this is going to work.
Yeah, you talked about rewards. It's almost like, well, we don't want to be motivated just by rewards. But then I think you mentioned, who invented the rewards again?
Yeah, exactly. And it's interesting. God says there are two things that we have to believe about him to please him. This is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Number one, that constant awareness that he's with me. And number two, that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him.
The exchange tools that Jeff sees as a gift from God greatly simplify the process of sharing the gospel, giving confidence to us as believers that we can do this. But more than that, God himself rewards us to do his will. Scripture teaches us that God rewards us for doing good works, denying ourselves, showing compassion to the needy, and treating our enemies kindly. As we'll learn today, these rewards from God include rewards for faithfully sharing the gospel with those we meet. Welcome to Echoes of Faith, a podcast about God working in our lives today and how his word impacts our future. In this episode, our host Caleb Phelps continues his discussion with Jeff Musgrave. He and his wife Anna founded The Exchange in 2010 and have presented their training in over 200 churches to thousands of people. They recently delivered this training at Faith Baptist Palm Bay in September of 2019. Jeff and Caleb sat down to talk about the approach and how you, the podcast listener, can be more motivated by God's word to put these principles into practice. And now, here's Pastor Caleb.
Well, welcome back once more. We're going to continue our conversation about the Exchange Seminar. Again, with me is Jeff Musgrave, and we, in our last podcast, were just talking about relational evangelism and discipleship. That's what the Exchange Seminar is all about. We just had Jeff in for our church, and to really astounding changing of understanding of what evangelism is from a biblical perspective. So we have some more questions for you in this week's podcast.
Okay, that'd be great.
In our last one, we were talking a lot about your ministry in general terms. And one thing you mentioned was that it's equipping and motivating. And there's a healthy tension between the two, that you're equipping a church and you're motivating a church. How do you see your ministry as an itinerant guy coming into a church and doing both of those?
Well, as a pastor for 30 years, the equipping is just kind of second nature to me. And that's really my job, is to give people genuine tools that they can go and use. I've always felt that our job is not to replace the layperson talking to his friend. In other words, I don't want to bring a professional in and he's the one who does the evangelizing, but to equip him, to give him the tools so that he's successful at that. I have to, as an evangelist, motivate him to do it. And I feel like that two-prong responsibility is crucial, both to equip him so that he has the tools and then to motivate him so that he actually wants to take those steps.
Sunday school was the power of the people. You motivated, and then the seminar both motivated, but certainly equipped. I think people come into the seminar on evangelism, any seminar on evangelism, or if I were just going to ask you, do you think you need to be more of an evangelist? And they're going to say, yeah, we all need that.
As a pastor, you always knew that if you wanted to have a great altar call, just preach on family devotions or preach on evangelism because everybody feels guilty.
Yeah.
And in fact, we try really hard never to motivate people out of guilt. Because we find that that guilt is almost doing damage to people wanting. It's like, I got to put that in the back of my brain because I feel so guilty about it. And what we want to do is give people the confidence that I can do this and motivate them out of, I think this is going to work. Yeah. And I feel like that's a much better motivation.
Yeah. Well, then you talked about rewards. there's some rewards here. And you talked about, it's almost like, well, we don't want to be motivated just by rewards. But then I think you mentioned, who invented the rewards again?
Exactly. And it's interesting. God says there are two things that we have to believe about him to please him. This is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Number one, that constant awareness that he's with me. And number two, that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And I do believe that God wants us to be motivated, not for this world, but for that world and for the rewards that are going to be there.
Mm-hmm. Lay up your treasures in heaven. Yeah, wonderful. One of the things that's neat for, I think, everybody, I think it's probably one of the highlights of the exchange seminar, is when Anna, your wife, gets up and she shares stories and testimonies, either of personal stories of hers or of people that have since done the seminar and are now reporting back. They're just wonderful. Tell us a little bit about how you get those stories, who hands them down to you. They're just so neat.
Yeah. Well, Anna has her own stories that she loves to tell about her growth in evangelism and discipleship. And she is so transparent and real that people just fall in love with her. And as a result, when people hear those stories, they just want to add to them. And so I find that the relationship that Anna makes with people when we're in a church just invites people. I want to help Anna. I want to be able to. And so we have had so many stories. For every story that she tells, there's probably 10 to 20 that she doesn't tell. We have to actually work through which stories are going to be most helpful. The fact is that people are getting saved every week in America because somebody just finished an exchange Bible study or somebody just went through, we lovingly call the gospel presentation system, their GPS, and talked to someone about Jesus. The gospel is powerful. And if people use the gospel, people are going to get saved. And we love it when churches remember to write to us and let us know what happened in that story.
Oh, their stories are neat because you've got people from all different walks of life, all different corners of our country. So you give a story one week of a leader, an executive of a business leading someone to the Lord. And then the next day you give one of just a regular employee leading their boss to the Lord. Yeah. And then you've got a neighbor leading a neighbor to the Lord and a friend leading a friend and a family member. It's just all over.
Yeah. And I love that, you know, when the Bible tells us to be making disciples, he says, as you are going, because of that, we find people everywhere. I mean, they're out there and we try real hard to give that overview of lots of different arenas because we want people to look in their own life in those arenas and see where those people are.
Well, and hearkening back to what you're just talking about, equipping and motivating, it really seems like most seminars, Jeff comes up and gives us the equipping and Anna comes up and gives us a testimony, and those testimonies are very motivating.
Yes. We kind of see it this way. I tell people how, and she says, this is what that looks like.
Yeah.
And between the two of them, it's really, really fun.
Yeah, the tag team you guys have is really fun. And then, speaking of tag teams, you guys role play what this looks like. And sometimes she's the believer witnessing to you pretending to be the unbeliever and vice versa. And we get to kind of be in the audience and observe that. And then you turn the tables on us and you say, now you saw that, now you do it with the person sitting next to you.
Yeah.
And that is also both equipping and motivating because I find when I do that with my friend, I feel like I can do that.
Yeah. And what I find is the first time someone tries to do that, it feels so awkward. And it's like, I don't want to do this. This is really dumb. But as a person begins to articulate it, and we do it six different times through the seminar, by the time they get done to the sixth time, it almost feels real to them. It's like, I think this is going to work. I feel like if we didn't take that time and practice, that most people would never be able to actually get it out of their mouth. Mm-hmm. It's good because Anna actually in the seminar tells how she learned the outline because preachers think in outlines, but the average person in the pews, they don't think in outlines, and it takes a little bit more work. And Anna talks about how she learned and practiced the outline itself during her private devotions. She actually started taking walks every day and witnessing to someone that wasn't there on a regular basis until she got comfortable with it. And I think people hearing her tell that this didn't come natural to me, I had to work at it, motivates them. I've had people come up to me after the seminar and say, I'm going to do what Anna did. I'm going to spend that time. Mm-hmm. And it really is just fun to be able to work with her as a partner.
Even in that testimony, when she gave that story, it was evident that this outline you're talking about, which is the one you put together, as a pastor, I've heard of a lot of, and I'm sure other people listening, you've heard of the Romans Road, you've heard of Evangelism Explosion, you've heard of these other outlines, but this one in particular is different. And Anna highlighted it because Anna said, I'm not naturally a confrontational person, and it feels awkward for me to come up to you and say, you're a sinner, although that is absolutely what has to be communicated. But your outline, it does communicate that, but it's not introducing to you the sinner, it's introducing you the sinner to God.
In preacher talk, I would call that theocentric. Mm-hmm. So we're focusing on who God is. Mm-hmm. In Anna talk, mm-hmm. she just says, I love God. Mm-hmm. I love to talk about God. So for me to say, let me introduce you to God, God is holy, God is just, God is loving, God is gracious. Those are much easier for her.
Yeah.
And it really, really works for people.
Well, when I was on the side, when she was giving that, you could just see the heads nodding up and down because most everybody resonates with that.
We actually encourage questions.
Mm-hmm.
And we want the person who's learning about God to stop and say, now, wait a minute. There's this misconception I have in my head that I need to talk about. Now, they don't say it that way. They say, if God is, then what about? We don't want to cut those off. We want to encourage those because people are not going to really understand the truth about God until they get those misconceptions out of their way. So one of the things that Anna expresses in her testimony is that she loves the simplicity of God is holy, just, loving, and gracious because people can ask that question. She can go off and answer it and then know I'm just coming back to and God is just. And it's just a simple outline that keeps her on track.
Yeah. And it's effective. I can even say in my own family's life, my dad just led his neighbor to the Lord using this outline last Tuesday.
That is so amazing to me because your dad has been a pastor for 40 years and he could do anything he wanted to, but he chose to do an exchange Bible study with a neighbor, saw him saved. That's just amazing. That's phenomenal to me.
I'm hopeful to do it in my own life and be able to report back to you. That's our prayer. And even from our church to be able to report, maybe we can add some of Anna's stories.
I have no doubt about that.
Yeah. There's something you had us do before the seminar began. We did it as a church family. We included it in the bulletin a couple Sundays ago, and then you've continued to bring that back to our attention. And you call it your Find Five list.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about the Find Five.
What we believe is that God wants each of us to be impacting the people in our sphere of influence, where we live, where we work. And what we do is we ask people to identify five people in their circle of influence that they're burdened for about Jesus. And then with those five people, begin to make a strategy as to how am I going to get the gospel to that person. And some of those people right now, they have a close enough relationship. They can invite them. Would you do this Bible study with me? And they would say yes. And some of them, they have to intensify that relationship by just kind of getting to know them, getting the conversations from kind of those surfacey conversations down to those soul level conversations, and trying to help people to identify those people that around them. We actually encourage people not just to start with five, but then to keep a list of five people that they're constantly trying to cultivate this relationship so that they can lead them to Christ.
We've already begun in our prayer hour praying for those Find Five lists that have been submitted. You also, though, with that Find Five, so we write them down, and then when you get here, you say, now I've got a 30-day challenge for you. Tell us a little bit about that, because it's a big part of what we're doing here.
To me, it's almost the critical aspect, because just simply knowing something is not enough. We have to take action. This is my theory about the 30-day challenge. That if 30 days from now, the people of Faith Baptist Church have not begun to take action, they're probably not going to. That's just the way human nature works. And so what we're doing is asking them, would you be willing to take this challenge that in the next 30 days, by God's grace, I will either give the gospel to someone or invite someone to do the exchange Bible study with me. We find that the large majority of the people that have gone through the seminar take that challenge. And then as a result, many, many, many people invite somebody. We hear stories all the time, the week or the 2 weeks or the month after we've been there, people in Bible studies. Right now, there's a church in Argentina that have 25 Bible studies going because they took a 30-day challenge when we finished there in Argentina.
Wow. And that's the neat thing about the exchange. It's boots on the ground. Maybe people as they're listening could hear, yes, you do give us a way to give a one-time gospel. Sometimes it's all you can take. But you said, if I could choose between giving the gospel one time or doing a Bible study with someone, I'll always choose doing the Bible study.
Yes. And the fact is, most people that I talk to that have been saved acknowledge that it took more than one touch with the gospel before I was ready to trust Christ. Mm-hmm. And so if we know that's true about most of us, then we can know it's true about most of the people we're going to talk to. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons I believe the Exchange Bible Study is so effective. It gives us a platform to have those multiple touches, mm-hmm. and it's very effective.
But basically, you're asking your friend, would you do this 4 weeks with me?
Right.
Together. Let's do this together.
Yeah. We're not saying, I'm going to be your teacher, mm-hmm. and you're going to be the student. We're just simply saying the two of us as friends are going to do this Bible study together. And the Bible study does a huge level of the teaching. As we study together, we just learn this is who God is, and this is how I have a relationship with him.
And as the stories were indicating, it's been effective in different cultures, even now. You just mentioned Argentina and across our country.
Yeah.
It really has.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm sure for you that's a rewarding thing just to hear those stories, and humbling too.
We believe, and this sounds a little strange, we believe the Exchange Bible Study was a gift to us. I don't even feel like I'm the creator of it. It literally is a gift from God that has allowed hundreds of people to trust Christ. And we just are surprised every time we hear another person coming to Christ. And it's just phenomenal. It's exciting.
You have so kindly motivated our church. You've equipped our church, but you've motivated our church. And I think for many pastors, myself included, sometimes when we hear of an evangelist, an itinerant minister, like even yourself, and we don't know them, we think you're going to come in, blow up, and blow out. Maybe you heard that with an evangelist.
Yeah.
And that's so not what you've done. I appreciate that about you, but I think for a pastor that may be listening or a congregant that may be listening and they're thinking, what is the exchange? I want them to know your heart isn't that. Your heart really is truly to let us move forward. In fact, we just had staff meeting and you ran it and you basically said, here's some pointers, here's some ideas that you might have to extend your reach beyond this week.
Right, yeah.
You've obviously developed this passion over years of ministry. Tell us a little bit about that passion of, I'm not just here to blow in, blow up, and blow out. I'm here to help you as a ministry extend your reach into your community.
I actually believe I'm much more of a pastor by giftedness than an evangelist. And I spent 30 years in the pastorate. Frankly, I was 26 years in the same church. I intended to spend the rest of my life there. I just believe God kind of plucked me from there to do this. And so we take much more of a pastoral approach. I want to help pastoral staffs and the pastor to become effective at being able to not just do it themselves, but to cultivate this as a culture in their church. I actually believe that if we're going to see a lost world come to Christ, we have to show them the beauty and the gentleness and the meekness of Jesus, and that we demonstrate that through our own life. And so one of the things I try to do everywhere I am is to show people the beauty of just how to be a good friend to people. And I believe that it's effective not only in a setting like this, but as they go out and are good friends with their contacts, they're going to see Jesus impacting their lives.
In fact, at one point you illustrated it by saying, what if I went out to your church sign with a megaphone and a sign that said, repent, and started yelling into the megaphone? You said, I think, if I said, if you're a sinner, you're going to hell, and I shouted that in the megaphone, is that true? Well, yeah, that's true. Is that effective? Is that an effective way to reach people?
Right.
And not as much.
Not as much.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ himself came to earth and woos us to himself. I mean, it's a drawing. There's no pushing involved. And I believe that we can model that to people just by wooing.
Yeah. Sometimes our positions sadly can't be heard because of our dispositions. And you've encouraged us to have a meek disposition this week, which is very unlike many evangelistic seminars that I've even attended myself. You've had this relational focus, reach your friends, your family members, your neighbors, your find five list. You say your find five list, you say think of fans.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. So the idea of a fan is just taking the acrostic, friends and family, associates at work, at the gym, wherever, and then neighbors. And then we actually throw in strangers, because even though you don't know strangers, you will. And God brings people into our lives, and we're just looking for people in those areas of our life.
And having done those find five lists before we got into the seminar, in many of our minds, we're thinking of when you keep saying, remember your find five, we have names in our minds that we are thinking of.
And it just makes me want to say thank you so much for the work that you put in to preparing your people for the exchange seminar, because it's a little more intense than a typical week of meetings. Yeah. Your people have been here every night faithfully, and I believe it's because they were prepared for it and had that passion ahead of time.
Yeah, to someone that's thinking about having you in, it's an exhausting, it's a 12-hour exhausting thing, but it is worth it. And I think everybody to a man that was in the seminar this week would say so.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, thank you again for coming in and talking to us about this ministry. Once again, I encourage everybody that's listening, go out to the website, exchangemessage.org.
Exactly.
You can check out their app.
You just go to the app store and look up Exchange Message.
Yep. And all of those things, just get to know this ministry, and I trust that it'll be a blessing to you as it's been a blessing to us at Faith Baptist of Palm Bay. So thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Echoes of Faith, a production of Faith Baptist Church of Palm Bay, Florida. If you would like more information about our ministries, please visit faithpb.com or facebook.com/faithpalmbay. We invite you to join us in worship on Sundays and Wednesdays. Service times and past messages are available at faithpb.com. If this has been beneficial to you, would you mind taking a moment to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast in iTunes? Thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us again for our next episode of Echoes of Faith.